Hello again, friends. This is Brother Billy coming back to you by way of radio. We're so glad to be with you today. I really got a cold, and I hope it won't interfere too much with my talking, but maybe if y'all pray for me and kind of bear with me, we can get through today. I'm really thankful, as I said, to be back with you, and I'm so proud that you tuned our way. I hope God blesses you real good today, and that maybe something I say will cause you to be able to have a closer walk with God. And you know, I've thought about so much today that I'm so proud that I know whose side that I'm on. And you know what today? That's what I want to talk about. Who is on the Lord's side today? Oh, thank God, friends. There's so many people that profess to be in the army of God, and you can't tell whose army they're really in. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about who is on the Lord's side. You know, we used to sing a song with those words in it, and it went something like, "Who's on the Lord's side tonight?" Oh, thank God, friend, I want to be on God's side. You know, one time when Korah came against Moses and said, "Moses, you take too much upon yourself. All the people are holy." Moses just bowed down and he said, "On the morrow, God will prove who is holy." And you know, when the morrow came, Moses said, "All that are on God's side, come over here. And all that are with Korah, stay over there." And you know, when the people had come to Moses, then the earth opened up and swallowed up those that were left. And I believe the Word of God tells us there fell something like 23,000 that day. Friends, I tell you tonight, I want to be on God's side. Whose side are you on? Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord and do not the things I say?" You know what? We're in a battle and we need soldiers to fight. We don't need folks to claim to be on our side and then fight with the enemy. We need soldiers to fight the battle. Somebody might say, "Preacher, what do you mean? I'm a Christian. Surely you're not talking about me." Well, let's see if I am. Do you know that one way people of the world excuse their life is by the inconsistent life of people who profess to be Christians? If a man lives what he professes, his life will rebuke the sinner. But if he says one thing and he lives another way, you know what, friends? He's a comfort to the sinner. Which are you tonight? Are you a friend of the world, or does your life prick their heart? The Word of God tells us, you know, anybody can profess to be anything. We got an old brother down at Tiptona that every once in a while he used to say, "I could claim to own Chattanooga," but said if I didn't have a deed to it, then you couldn't prove I owned it. And you know what, friends? The Word of God tells us that a good tree cannot bear corrupt fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bear good fruit. And a man's life will prove out what he is. You can say that you're anything, but your life will prove it out. If you say you belong to God and live for the devil, your life proves out what you are. Now listen, I want to just talk a little bit, and y'all just bear with me and listen. And if I get on your toes, you know what they used to say? Years ago, they'd say, "That old brother got on my toes tonight, but bless God, he won't no more, because I'm going to move him." So if I get on your toes today, you just move him. Now listen to what he said. Listen now, the Word of God tells us that covetousness is idolatry. And you know, covetousness is a strong desire. And you know, we tell people the world that all our affections are on things above, and that this world and all that's in it will pass away, and it truly will. But you know what? Then they look at some people that profess Christianity and say, "Why, he's just as greedy as me. Why, his mind's always on making money. He works all the overtime he can, even if it's on church days, just like I do. And not only that, but then when he gets his money, he don't give it like he's supposed to. He's laying it up to have a good retirement or buy a new car or a new home." Oh, thank God, friend. You just have to say, "Oh, me," or "Amen, one." If you're out there making that money and you're not putting it into God's work, then, children of God, you're not living your light. You're not letting it shine. And somebody might say, "There he goes preaching for money." No, I don't never ask y'all for no money on this program. But I'll tell you what. You know, there was one old brother that that used to say that the least amount that the Word of God talked about giving was 10%. And somebody said, "Oh, he's preaching that tithing mess." And one night I heard him talking off down at another church, and he said, "Folks accused me of preaching 10%. He said, "But all I've ever said was that the least amount the Word of God asks you to give is 10%. He said, "Now, if you want to go over to the New Testament," he said, "the Word of God said, just give it all. Just give it all, thank God." And you know what tonight? That money don't belong to us. That money belongs to God. If you've got money today and you're hoarding it up, storing it up, friends, where are you laying your treasures up at? The Word of God said, "Where your treasures are," said, "there your heart will be also." "Oh," said, "oh, Brother Billy, he just wants to be secure in his old age." Well, yeah, I can understand that, but you know what? Sometimes these same people tell the world to put Christ first, to serve him instead of the world. And then they look, and you know, if they don't say it out loud, they think it. They say, "Why, he's trusting the same things I am. He's trying to have the things of the world just as much as I am. He's trying to lay up treasures here." Well, children of God, if that happens, our testimony loses power. We're saying, but not doing, just like the Pharisees. We're saying, but not doing. And you know, nowadays people who profess to know God, they're just as fond of style as anybody in the world could possibly be. I heard one preacher put it one time, said, talking about the sisters, said their dresses go up and down like a Venetian blind, changing as the world changes. The people of God sometimes seem to be so anxious to adorn the outside. But the Word of God said, let it be that hidden man of the heart. You know, sometimes you can't even tell who's a child of God. It's got to where that they look so much like the world that you can't even tell. They've just got so much decked out so much with so much jewelry and so much adorning outward that you can't even tell who they really belong to. You know, these are people that are professing to be holy people. And I'm not talking about, if you're not guilty, I'm not talking about you. But I tell you today, friends, the Word of God, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, "Why call you me Lord and do not the things I say?" Oh, thank God. God loves us, friend. But you know what he said? He said, "Come ye out from among the world and be ye separate, and I will receive you." We must come out from among the world. That's his holy name. You know, sometimes you hear people talking about carrying the cross of Christ, and the only place you see it is on a little gold chain around their neck. Oh, friends, the world is watching you. They're watching you. You're supposed to be representing Christ. Paul said we was ambassadors of Christ. And you know what? An ambassador of the United States is somebody we send over to another country. And they over there, and they represent the United States. And what they do reflects on the United States. And we're ambassadors of Christ, and we're supposed to be, what we do reflects on him. Children of God, are we representing him? Are we? Are we representing him? Are you professing to be on his side or at helping the devil? Which one is it? We tell the world that God is love and that we love each other, and then we backbite and devour one another. Sometimes nearly fight like cats and dogs. We read the Word of God and tell the world that their fightings come from their lust. And they say, "Well, where do yours come from?" And we say that the anger and wrath in the world are the effect of sin. And they say, "Well, then what causes your divisions and strife?" Oh, children, this is serious. I want to be on God's side. I want my light to so shine that others might see. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out." And you know what that savor is? That's the taste that's there. That's what makes it good. And if that's gone, it ain't good for nothing. And when they look at you, if that savor in there, friends, if that taste in there, friends, then your light is so dim. I want my life to be a beacon for God, not a reproach. The man of God can preach a holy life And then you can tear it down by your actions. You know, we need to be so careful because we represent Christ. I tell this little story a lot, but listen to it again. It's worth telling. There was a young soldier that always seemed to do everything just right. No matter what the situation was, he seemed to do the right thing. And one day his commander asked, said, son, said, you seem to be able to stay out of trouble and to always do things right. Said, what's your secret? And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a picture. And he said, sir, this is my father. And every time I go to do something, I take his picture out and look at it. And I think with what I'm about to do in any way, dishonor or embarrass my father in any way. And if it would, would it make you proud of me or ashamed of me? And said, then I base what I do on the answer to those questions. Children, we need to ask these things. We need to honor our God, not cause embarrassment to his ways. Oh, thank God. Friends, I don't want to be an embarrassment to God. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. The Word of God said, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you are sealed. Oh, thank God. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I want God to be proud of me. I want him to be glad to say, that's my child. You know what? There are folks, you know, among us that tell the world that serving God is joy and peace. And then they proceed to murmur and complain about everything that comes. We're supposed to offer sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips. But sometimes it seems as though all we do is weep and sigh and murmur and complain. Some people claim to be Christians are the type of person that can brighten up a room by leaving it, if you know what I mean. You know what? There are pleasures in the world. People out there enjoy themselves. And if you're like a rain cloud instead of a ray of sunshine, you know what they're going to say? Man, if that's religion, I don't want any. I'm going to enjoy myself while I can. Man, it must be awful to be that burdened down and troubled. You might say, wait a minute, preacher. I might not do much, but I don't hurt. That's impossible. That is impossible. You're either a help or a hindrance. There ain't no middle ground in God's way. You're either a help or a hindrance. The world's watching you, and your life will either condemn them or else it'll justify them. May God help us. May God help us to be to the place that the way we live would prick the sinner's heart and cause him to declare that God is in us of a truth. Oh, friends, this is a serious thing. Word of God said it's fearful to fall into the hands of a living God. And we need so bad, we need to hold that standard up. Listen, Satan has got so many things today that capture our minds and entice us that we've got to be on guard at all times, lest he get an advantage of us. We've truly got to fight to keep our affections on things above. You know, I've said a lot of times that they taught me in school that we literally are what we eat or feed on. If we let our mind feed on the world, if we allow garbage to be dumped in our minds, if we allow ourselves to be more concerned with the things of this world, we let the cares, the riches, the pleasures, the lust of other things dominate our thoughts, then we'll be like the world. Oh, but friends and brethren, listen, if we feed on Christ, all and nothing else but Christ, we'd be pure and holy and meek and gentle, humble, kind, and we'd have that power with God that would make people want to be like us. You know, I want people to want to be like me. I want to live in a way that they'd say, oh, I want to be like him. I heard about just a day or two ago about somebody being in the presence of children of God, and they were rejoicing in the Lord, and they were beholding the glory of God, and said, I want that. I want that. I want that. And you know what? I remember one day that we went over to a sister's house, an older sister's house. She's probably up in age pretty good then, but she got sick and we went to pray for her. Her son and her daughter had received salvation, and she was sick, and she sent word, I think, or anyway, we ended up over there to pray for her, and we got over there to pray for her, and when she come out there and knelt down to pray, you know what happened? She threw her hands up. She said, "Oh Lord," she said, "I want what my children's got. I want what they've got." That light was shining out. Thank God today. Glory to God. It was shining out there. She said, "I want what they got." And friends, today, if the world was watching you, would they want what you got? If the world was watching you, could they say, "Oh, I want what they've got. I want it." Or would they say, "Huh, they're just like me, bunch of hypocrites." Oh, friends, our life, it means so much how we walk and how we talk. It means so much how we live from day to day, where we go, where we're seen at, what kind of company we keep. It all reflects on the ways of God. You know, sometimes the Word of God tells us in one place, it said, "By your words you'll be justified," or "By your words you'll be condemned." And that goes on and continues into our actions. What we do, how we walk, what we say, where we go, those things will either justify us or they'll condemn us. And I want to kind of end the program today with a little story I'm going to read this story, and I want you to listen to it. It might be possible that we could have done it in a way that it's caused some soul to be damned. And if we have, where does that leave us? Listen close to what I'm saying. This really touches me. Maybe I can get through it without crying. So a young minister was preaching once very earnestly in a certain place. And he had to walk 4 or 5 miles home along a country road after the service. A certain young man who had been deeply convicted by the sermon asked if he could walk with the minister, with the earnest hope that he might get an opportunity of telling him his feelings, hoping that the minister could help him. Instead of that, all along the way, the preacher told jokes and stories to those with him, causing loud roars of laughter, and even relating tales and stories which bordered on being indecent. Oh, thank God, friends. Do you tell those little off-color jokes? Oh, bless your holy name, Father. Help us, Lord. Listen, he stopped at a certain house and this young man with him, and the whole evening was spent in just jesting and foolish talking. And some years later, when the minister had grown old, he was called to the bedside of a dying man, and he hastened there desiring to be of some help. Oh, no doubt he wanted to do good, but he didn't know what was waiting on him. Listen, he was requested to sit down at the bedside, and the dying man, looking at him and regarding him most closely, said to him, "Do you remember preaching in such and such a town on such an occasion?" "I do," said the minister. "I was one of your hearers," said the man, "and I was deeply convicted by the sermon." "Well, thank God for that," said the minister. "Stop," said the man. "Don't thank God till you've heard the whole story. You'll have reason to change your tone before I'm done." The minister's countenance changed, but he little guessed what would be the full extent of that man's testimony. Oh, thank God, friends. When we stand up before God, I know we're going to stand there for ourselves. But somewhere down the line, somebody's testimony against us may cause us to stand in a different condition. Listen, he said, "Sir, do you remember that after you had finished that earnest sermon, I, along with some others, walked home with you? I was sincerely desirous of being led in the right path and to straighten my life out that night. But you carried on with such foolishness and jesting and indecency too. Glory to God, bless your name. That I went outside the house while you were sitting down at your evening meal, and I stamped my foot upon the ground And I said that you were a liar, that Christianity was a falsehood, that if you could pretend to be so earnest about it while in the pulpit and then come down and talk like that, the whole thing must be a sham. And I, sir, have been an infidel, a confirmed infidel, since that day to this. But I'm not an infidel at this moment. I know better. I'm dying. I'm dying. And I'm about to be damned. And at the bar of God, at the judgment bar of God, I will lay my damnation to your charge. My blood is upon your head. And with that, he gave a dreadful shriek. And with one demonical glance at the trembling minister, he shut his eyes and died. Oh, thank God. That touches my heart, friends. Listen, we are our own epistle, our life. Children, listen to me today. Whoever you are, bless his name, whoever you are, and wherever you go to church, whatever kind of denomination you profess to be, you are either darkness or light for your church and for God. You're either darkness or light. Oh, friends, just to think, just the idea that we might could be guilty of something like that makes the flesh nearly crawl in my bones. Satan's already got enough traps without us helping him. Let's don't help the devil. Let's be careful what we do and what we say, where we go and what we partake of. I know that we could hardly stand the thought that maybe we could have helped drag somebody down to that awful pit. But if we are inconsistent in what we say we are versus what our fruit tells others we are, children, it could be possible. It could be possible. We're either serving God or Satan every day. And we're either increasing his kingdom or we're diminishing it. Oh, friends, my earnest prayer is, may God help us to let our light so shine that others might see. To let the way we walk to be a light to the world. Jesus taught like he said, if that light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Oh, thank God. How great is that darkness? Today, let's walk worthy of this great salvation. Let's walk worthy. Oh, friends, God put us in this way. And he put us here to be ambassadors for him. He put us here to upbuild his kingdom. And let's walk worthy of this great salvation. Oh, I tell you today, God loves us. And he's so merciful and kind. And I thought so many times, as I said before, I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I know that when I was a young man, that many of the time that I grieved my mother and father. And you know why I grieved them? Because I didn't do the things that they told me to do. I didn't go the places that they wanted me to go. And I had a mind of my own. And today, there's so many people professing to be God's children that are just going to do whatever they want to do. Do you know what, friends? Listen to me. A little child has got enough sense to know that a person that does good and a person that does bad is not going to the same place. They got enough sense to know that the saints of God and the people of the world aren't going to the same place. And I don't know, I know it must be confusing sometimes to some of them, but friends, when they look at you, if you profess to be a Christian, and I'm talking to you, I'm talking to the people out there that are listening. It doesn't matter to me where you go to church at. If you profess to be a Christian and you're living like the devil, friends, that light is so dim and growing dimmer all the time. The Word of God teaches us that he that committed sin is of the devil. And you know what? There's a thing going around today among people claim to be holy that, oh, you can't prove it's a sin, you can't prove it's a sin. Friends, listen, if you loved God with all your heart, you wouldn't try to get by with stuff. You know what you'd do? You'd be trying to get closer and closer and closer. You know what Jesus said one time? Well, you know, Jesus did many, many mighty works. You know what he told his followers? He said, these things shall you do, and greater than these, because I go to my Father. And all listen today, he's sitting up there on the right hand of the Father, and he's looking for somebody to work through down here on this earth. And friends, today, walk in a way that he can work through you. Walk in a way today, friends, that if he needed a vessel, that you could be a vessel unto honor. Fear God. Keep his commandments. And all, stay on your knees and pray. Don't spend so much time in worldly pursuits and worldly pressures. Don't spend so much time sitting in front of the TV. Don't spend so much time out carrying on with the things of the world. Spend your time serving God. Oh, go tell somebody about the good way. Go tell somebody about the good things of God and share with them that hope that's within you. The Word of God told us to be ready at all times to give any man an answer for the hope that's within us, and be ready to share that hope and walk in a way that that somebody, instead of thinking you was just like them, would say, hey, there's something different about you. What is it? What is it about you that's so different? And look at them. Live in a way that they can do that, and you can look at them and say, it ain't me, but it's Christ that dwelleth in me. It's Christ in my life. And friends, let him be Lord of your life. Let him have the preeminence in your life. And in the things of this world and the cares, all this is going to pass away. And after a while, the only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for him. Not your big home or your retirement. Not the pleasures that you've had out here in this world, worldly pleasure. They're not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for God. God loves you today, and he wants you. He really wants you to be a good soldier and to stand out for him. It's our time has come and gone, and I hope again that something I said has helped you. Friends, be on God's side. When the call is given, it says, who's on the Lord's side? Everybody's on the Lord's side. Come over here. When that call's given, be prepared to let them know whose side that you're on. Till next week, this is Brother Billy saying, may the God of all peace keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus till we meet again.